for a God-centered life. And God began to speak to me. What that means is, you know, reach for a God-centered life. What that means is, you know, take God's word and, you know, put it into our lives, kind of like I was talking about a garden. I thought about it today. I thought, Lord, I planted a garden of the seed of the word of God in my life for 20-something years, Lord, and it continually brings me a harvest of peace, faith, joy, confidence. When conflict comes, I have conflict at times at my house. I just don't yield to it. I have, you know, times I want to yield to anger. I just won't. Why? Because just like Johnny, he started preaching. I mean, I thought he talking about keeping your mind renewed. I got it all in the scripture. I thought preaching. That's why I said it's going to preach. Well, that means he's hitting it. You know, he's hitting what the Spirit of the Lord says. You got to keep your mind off of what you feel like, your failures, your faults, your shortcomings, and everybody else's. Amen. Come on, somebody. To be God-focused and God-centered is peace and life. I'll show you in the scriptures, praise God. But a God-centered life means that I'm going to try to bring God into everything. I'm going to keep my mind. That's why I don't listen to secular music. If you do, that's up to you. I've never called it sin, but it's born of the flesh. Secular music is born of the flesh. A lot of the songs are born out of pain, wrote out of pain. So it ministers pain. And I was thinking about it today. I thought that's why I quit listening to it back then. And I wanted a God-centered life. I wanted God involved in my thinking, in my heart, you know, in my life, my feelings, my emotions. And I realized all that stuff that was ministering death to me. And so we've got to reach for a God-centered life. A God-centered life brings results of victory. A God-centered life will begin to bring results of victory into our life. Number one, it'll bring faith. Without it, we can't please God. Without it, we won't obey God. We won't obey God outside of faith. We don't have the ability. See, being born again is not a natural thing. It is a supernatural. It is a spiritual thing. It is a supernatural thing. We've been supernaturally born of the Spirit of God. And that supernatural transformation, in the Bible, Paul even put in one place, he said, and being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. That means that we're being born of the word of God all the time. But you know what? If we don't put the word in, if we don't keep our mind on the word, if we don't meditate on the word, we will just be carnal. We'll be Christians, but we'll be carnal. And we'll be sad and oppressed and depressed and hopeless. And I mean, it'll just be like a clockwork with the enemy. I mean, he watches your life. He watches your results. I mean, your reaction to results. He watches all that. He watches, and if you're easily oppressed, he'll keep you that way. He can't keep you that way if you don't let him. Well, I just can't help it. See, you're believing a lie.
Right.
You're believing a lie. I can't help it. You're believing a lie. People used to tell me that I had a bad temper, all that stuff. I was an angry guy. I mean, I was just angry. It's wonder I didn't go to prison, you know what I mean? I mean, out some of the stuff that I didn't get caught nearly done. And I would have went to prison. But you know what? When I got born again, I realized that I'd been crucified.
Hallelujah.
With Christ. That old man died. Yeah. Now I can let him live anytime I want to. I mean, I still know how to cuss. I still know how to turn it on secular music. I still know how to watch pornography. I mean, I still know how to do all those things. I have the ability to lay down the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
I have the ability. The Bible tells me to put on the new man.
Yeah.
To put on that new man. Somebody say, put on.
Put on.
That means that I'm responsible. I'm responsible for it, praise God.
Amen.
I remember one time I, I let things get to me at work. Travis had just started working for me and everything. And this guy, this job was one of Travis's. I was letting him have the money and, you know, off the job. And the guy ripped him off, you know. And I got mad. And I took he started drinking, you know, and he's out there drinking and everything. And, you know, and had a couple of guys with me. And I lost it. So I just run up in his face with a wrench and I shoved it up to his nose. And I mean, I'm going to shove it up in your brain. Happy hour's fixing to be over.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, you need Jesus. Well, I mean, I was mad, but I mean, I'd let him know, you need to be born again. You know. And so, you know, but you know what? I got in the truck and it felt good right then. I really wanted to let that old man go because I used to like that kind of. See, look, if our life is full of drama all the time, we gonna flow with drama.
Wow.
You know, that could have been a starting point of Travis living that kind of uncensored life. I mean, you know, and so when I left, you know, I thought, well, my God, I should have hit him. I mean, I should have hit him. I regretted not taking action in that. But you know what it was? I was yielding to carnality. I was yielding to the flesh. And you know what? When I left that and all the emotions and all of the adrenaline was pumping, I was saddened on the inside that I give in to that junk. I mean, it grieved me and I didn't feel happy anymore. You know, I'd laid down the love. I'd laid down that new man that I was walking in until that circumstance came, you know. And I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry that I was a bad example to my son. I'm sorry that I was a bad example of Christ Jesus to that guy. I don't care if he was drunk. You know, the Bible says overcome evil with good, Lord, and I didn't do it. I should have given him another $50. Pearson said, here, rip somebody else off.
Right.
But anyhow, I got before the Lord and I repented, praise God. And then I went to Travis and I told him. I said, son, I'm sorry. You know, that I did that. That was a bad representation of the boss. That was a bad reputation of the father. And that was a bad reputation of Jesus.
Right.
And you know what? The joy came back. I mean, those repentance from ungodly things like that causes life to flow. Why? Because we're not yielding to carnal. We're yielding to the spirit man. We're yielding to the new man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know out on the road, but look, God began to deal with me today. He said Satan's attacking the homes of people in your church. So you better listen to what I'm telling you tonight. Because if we don't do something when the enemy's attacking, we go deeper into bondage and deeper into bondage and deeper and blinded by the bondage. I mean, if the Bible says whom the Lord has set free, the Son is set free, is what?
Free.
Free from what? Free from all the things that he can come and try to take us bondage to. But if we yield to it, like I did yield to it, it brings bondage. It brings darkness. So all we got to do is repent. Repent and say, God, help me. God, help me. You know, I don't care if we feel justified. There's no justification for me and you to walk carnal. No justification. Jesus died on the cross. They beat him. They whipped him. They whipped Paul. They beat Paul. I mean, beat him to the point of death. Threw him out of the city. He had no justification to be angry. He could have killed them. He was a man of war.
Amen.
The dude had been sending armies and killing Christians.
Yep.
But he got converted. He got that's the one that told the Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ. I live, that not I live, but Christ that lives. And now the life that I live by faith in the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, the Bible says in Romans over there, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. See, it's going to take some mind renewal on our part when we get born again. People that ain't never been taught that they need to renew their mind, they have no clue what I'm talking about right now. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. What does that mean? Renew your mind. That means get your mind thinking like God thinks. That means get your mind God-centered in everything that you do. How many knows the Word of God transforms your life? It's transformed me. I mean, I'm a happy guy, man. It ain't because I've got stuff. When I go to thinking I'm happy because of stuff makes me unhappy. The joy of the Lord, Scotty, strength. Come on, somebody. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what Sandy tapped into. You know, you sometimes just gotta worship by faith. You know what that means? I don't feel like worshiping, but I'm going into worship. You start out in the flesh. Move over into the spirit. She went in. What are you laughing at? I'm doing it by faith. Laughter does good like a medicine.
That's right.
You know, you can laugh by faith. Woo! Mm-hmm. Now, so I feel like, ooh, yeah. I'm telling you, do it by faith. That's dumb. It's good. I seem dumb. The Bible says, lean not to our own understanding, don't it? Proverbs 3. Right. All of our ways acknowledge the Lord. Well, what did the Lord say about it? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. I told the Lord today, I said, Lord, thank you that your word is working mightily in me, mightily in the church, mightily in the people in the church, mightily. Thank you, Lord, that your word is going in, dividing us under spirit, soul, bone, and marrow, and helping the body of Christ discern the thoughts that are coming to them.
Amen.
But if you don't got God's word in, there ain't no discerner in there. That's why I meditate on love my wife as Christ so loved the church, because when she ain't acting right, I don't want to love her like Christ did. Right. When she's having a bad day, I want to say, suck it up, buttercup, like she does me. But that's not what I do. I don't react to how I feel and what it looks like and yield to that ungodly nature that used to rise up and go beat the cars up and tear the house down and blow everything up and fight and tear everything up and all of that, hallelujah, and get into oppression and mad for a week or a month. All I'm doing is going into bondage. I give in to how my body, my body aches all over. I can't. Go tell her. This child, why don't you go tell her? My body aches out there. That ain't going to help me none. No, but to get up and say, Lord, I'll take my medicine today. The word of God, hallelujah. It's working mightily in me, Lord. I'm being transformed and changed as the days go by. I'm getting more like Jesus every day. You know he's coming back? Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. He's going to send his angels down here, praise God, and he's going to catch us up to him. Bible says the dead in Christ is going to rise, and those who are alive and remain going to be caught up to meet him in there. And then we're coming back for 1,000 years. Ooh, that devil, he just thought he was rid of us. We're coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm excited about him coming back.
Amen.
It's more real to me today because I'm like, good Lord, it's like the day of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, all these people coming out, I'm a man. Now you're a woman. Mm-hmm. You know, married, men married all the way to the White House.
Yeah.
You know, just seen it on the news the other day. Did you know that the kid thinks already that it's a girl? And it's a boy. His mama's giving him the thought. And I thought, Jesus is going to come back soon, man. He's coming back soon, man.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. He's coming back soon.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But you know what? I believe there's going to be a revival before that happens. I believe that there's going to be an outpouring in us and through us, praise God, that's going to bring the power of God to the body. And you know, there was a prophecy over this church back years and years ago. A man sat on the back pew in a trance the whole time that I preached. That whole service, I preached that service, and he was in a trance. I didn't never see him bat an eye. Caught up with the Lord back there on the back pew. Got the service was ended, and he come out of it, and I said, anybody got anything on your heart? He said, can I tell what I saw? I've been caught up, I don't know how long. I said, sure, brother, go ahead. He said, man, he said, I saw this church. He said, and people were just walking by like this church wasn't even here, like it didn't even exist. He said, they were just going by it and everything, you know. He said, and all of a sudden, I seen smoke come out of this church. He said, it was the glory of God. He said, and people begin to take notice of this church because of God's glory. And begin to come from every direction and fill the house. I just thought about that prophecy. That's been 15 years ago, I guess. I just thought about that. I thought it's fixing to happen, ain't it, Lord?
Yeah.
It's fixing to happen. That the glory of God, but you know where it starts in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't come out of brick walls and block walls. It comes out of God's people. God's people that it has their mind set on him, that is going through the flood and through the fire and letting men rise, but God letting God bring them out into an abundant place, hallelujah. A wide place, a place of victory is what it means on the inside. So if you're having trouble at home, you better go home. You better get some anointing oil out of your cabinet. You better go anoint everything. You better do some repenting, some fasting and seeking the Lord and inviting Jesus in your house. Inviting the Holy Spirit. Create an atmosphere for God. You know, I was thinking about just secular TV. Too much secular TV is not good for Christians. I don't care if it's good secular TV. Just secular TV all the time, filling, flooding yourself with it is not good. Not good. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, what we listen to, watch, entertain ourselves with, we're being filled with.
Amen.
Aiden came in there last night. He said, Papa, I want to watch SpongeBob or something. I said, no, you're not watching SpongeBob. We're fixing to turn on preaching. Preaching? That's preaching. I said, if you don't go in there and get your car, you go and hear some preaching. He went in there playing. I get sick of watching SpongeBob. Y'all in there and roll the car around or something. Mm-hmm. Use your mind other than letting them entertain your mind. Letting them build your mind. Letting them, you know what I'm saying? Too much TV for our kids is not good. Too much gaming for our kids is not good. Stuck on a game. I'm not getting old. I'm telling you what the enemy's doing. He's flooding and filtering in and building the generation that we're seeing. Through media, through games, through entertainment. Have you not known that truth is being censored off of TV? Everything truth is being censored and kicked off and kicked out and booted out. And now all we're being flooded with is a bunch of confounded lies on the net, about all the media stuff. So far away from Scripture. Anytime, that's how I know. And that's because I'm listening to them, you know, with their flattering words and all of that. I look at the Scripture and I compare them to what the Bible says about what they're saying, being, and doing. And then I determine what is truth. And I'm not judging them. Although the Bible says Scotty Weston will know them by their fruit. The Bible tells me I know. I know what's truth and not by the Bible. I told Travis years and years ago when he was a teenager, I said, son, the only way that you're going to know truth in this world is that Bible. And if you go messing around with that Bible and get worked up about that Bible, you ain't going to know what truth is. Always, I told him, I said, son, even if the Bible is against the way you are, do not twist the word.
Amen.
Don't do it. It can't set you free. Amen. Lies bind me from truth. But truth shields me from lies of the enemy. Hallelujah. Give me Romans 12, 2, Ben. So you better go home. Y'all women. I told Teresa one time, I said, you are anointed to raise the kids. You're anointed to teach them the Bible. I had to work, Johnny. I'm gone 8, 10, 12 hours a day. I'm not at home. The kids are at home. I told Teresa, I said, you're anointed to be a mother. You're anointed to teach him. You're anointed. I'm anointed to be a father. I got to do my part. Hallelujah. I remember laying hands on Travis when he was 5 years old, when I learned about releasing the anointing on his kids through the Bible. I laid my hands on my son, Travis, and I said, Father, I just thank you right now by the power you've invested me through Jesus as his father. I release the blessing on him, Lord. I thank you, Lord, you will keep him all his life, Lord. He will walk in your ways, God. He will follow you. I released it.
Amen.
I released it at 5. If he's made it thus far, it ain't his ability. Teresa made sure that no ungodly cartoons got in his ears and in his eye. None. It wasn't a bunch of rules and regulations. It's that we knew that if we're going to have God in his life and in our life, that the world could not feed him and fill him with their stuff, even through the cartoons. Butthead and Beavis. Stupid junk. You want to teach them rebellion? Let them watch Butthead and Beavis. Bunch of angry little punks. It ain't punks. It's grown people writing them. It ain't no kid went and made them. They made it for a reason. Out of darkness. To infiltrate lying. Infiltrate rebellion. Harry Potter. Some Christians don't see anything wrong with the Harry Potter books and stuff for their kids.
That's right.
But have you ever went in there and read any of it, watched any of it, how it teaches those kids to rebel against authority? The teachers?
Yeah.
Seeing we want to lay back, I'm telling you, we can't lay back and say, well, God's in control. No, you are.
Right.
No, I am. God's given the earth to me and you. He's given it to me and you to walk in authority in the earth, in faith, in a right spirit. Motivating our kids the right way. I mean, I used to think it was funny to make Travis mad. And I'm reading in the book of Proverbs, and the Bible says, provoke not your children, your son, your children to anger. And I seen that, and I thought, yeah, it might be funny to me, but I'm provoking him to anger. I've never done it again after that. Maybe a time or two, trying to yield away from it. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't funny. It was teaching him how to be angry.
Yeah.
I was teaching him out of my entertainment to be angry.
Yeah.
I realized that. Because why? The Bible.
Yeah.
My life was being transformed because of the Bible. It says, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But I know what the Word of God says. Yet, you ain't never used it. And we know it. How do you know it? Because you're carnal.
Right.
If I'm carnal, you know I'm not. Come on, somebody. Don't get all quiet on me.
Right.
If we know you're carnal and you don't know we know it, we let you know it, you can get rid of that stuff.
Right.
Then you don't look dumb no more.
Right.
Then you don't act dumb no more. I don't act dumb. Let me put it to me. I told you about my carnality over there trying to beat a dude up at happy hour. That was carnal. That was fixing to put me in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have come, Pastor preached what to you? Beat them up, boy. This is Jesus. Vengeance is ours, says the Lord. He said, it's mine, says the Lord. See, some of y'all don't even know the Bible. You thought I was quoting scripture. Sandy knew it. No, he said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And I could have come up here, black guy, God understands, boy. They push us to the point where there's just no return. God understands. No, God don't understand. God give us that so we don't get pushed past the point of no return. So that we don't end up in destruction. Our families don't end up in destruction. Our lives don't end up in destruction. And I would be over yonder paying fines and put me on house arrest and all this stuff that I go and mentor people out of. You give me somebody that, listen, my brother, he used to call me all the time. I mean, he loved people, man. He's pastoring, but they're driving him up the wall. I mean, they're just keeping him out to all hours of the night. That's why after 10 o'clock, if you need Jesus, you better call me before 10. Because Jesus knows unless the Holy Ghost brings that phone ringing way in there over my Vortec van, I won't wake up. Because I'm not in love with phone calls messing with my sleep. That's ungodly.
Amen.
It's ungodly. So everybody needs a miracle, they call me before 10. They're calling before 10. Get me in a bed. Good Lord would die before 7. But he would call me. And I tell him, No, I'm not going. Man, listen, do you understand I've got to work tomorrow? Do you understand that I've got a family? Do you understand that I don't feel led to go with you and deliver everybody, man? You've got a family at home. Well, you know, the ministry's first. That's not biblical, I told him. I said, that's not Bible. I said, God didn't make the church first. He made man. He made Adam, and he made a family. He told me, put me first. I said, God has to be first, not everybody that's in trouble. God's first, family. I said, I've got to be down there where I feel good working tomorrow because I'll be doing my boss injustice.
That's right.
He's paying me, so I need to go give him my best hours.
Amen.
That's what I told him. I said, no, I'm not going. I've done it once, I've done 100 times. He called 10:30 every time right before he'll be. He called one night and it was about 9:30. Oh, I believe I felt led to call you. I felt it on the inside. I said, okay. I said, I'm going with you tonight. Come preach. I said, I feel led to go. I said, I'm going with you. We go down there. The dude's ready to give his heart to the Lord. I don't know it, but I know I'm led. And when I go in there, all of a sudden, I started ministering the word of God. Somebody say, ministering the word.
Ministering the word.
Now, somebody been patting him on the back. Well, we know you're shooting up. Isn't that what your poor thing? It's just a disease you got. How about shooting up ain't a disease?
Right.
I mean, I could shoot up any time. It ain't a disease.
Right.
Pop pills.
Right.
Smoke marijuana. It ain't no disease.
Right.
It's a bondage.
Right.
How many know the Bible says whom the Son set free does what? Is
free.
Right? I've been delivered from everything that holds me, still holds me bondage today. I've done been delivered by Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is going to help me to continually walk out of that bondage that's held me bondage all these years. Nothing else. The power of God. But I go in there and I didn't start patting him on the back. But God, I started ministering the Word of God, and I looked at him and I said, you ready to give your heart back to Jesus, man? Oh, tears are flowing. Yeah. I mean, now my brother done been down there every other night for 6 months. Keep him up to 1-2 in the morning. Pray for him. Our family's in a wreck. We know it. You ain't even going to church. That's the first thing I've done. I said, where are you going to church? I'm back, Lynn. I said, good. I said, tonight's your night. I said, the Lord Jesus has sent us down here under his power. I come not in man's wisdom. I come in the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I said, and tonight's your night. I said, God is going to save you and your whole family tonight. I said, are you ready? Yes. I led him in a prayer to Jesus. And then I told him, I said, the very next step for you, son, is to find you a church somewhere. I said, I don't care if you ain't been to church or have been to church. You've got to find you a good church somewhere. I said, in this Bible, I wrote down scriptures that the Holy Spirit. I said, and keep your mind on this right here.
Amen.
What was I doing?
Amen.
Transforming it.
Amen.
By the Word of God. Now, God does it. But now I've done all I can do. When I leave there, the devil can come right on back to you, lady. He left while I was there. He got out of Dodge. I'm submitted to God. I done resisted him before I got there. I done prayed in tongues. I done been fasting that week. I done been fasting this week. I ain't got time to be oppressed and depressed. You don't either. This church don't. We got too much to do for Jesus. You've got to make sure your kids are in the presence of the Lord. That's one thing I like about Teresa. When I get, there's times I'm ready to go home because I know that she's got preaching on. I know that praise and worship's been on. I know that she ain't been, she's not there unless she just had a bad day. Most of the time, there's an atmosphere there that makes me want to go home. Because I'm out here battling. I'm out here working. I'm out here, doing the things that a man needs to do. I'm working on future different things. And the last thing I need to do is come home to a foul spirit. Or her either. She don't need me coming home with a foul spirit and mess up her life. But if we both were working in conjunction together, realizing that we're not each other's enemy, and what we feel is not the way that it is, and keep our mind stayed on the Lord, and keep our heart worshiping the Lord all the time, we both are glad to live together. And when you come to our place, I like for it to be kind of quiet when the kids get out there on Tuesday night. I'm not used to chaos. I actually get frustrated real quick. You can't frustrate me much. But I like to cut it down on 19. Instead of 73. Cut it down on 19. If they get too late, y'all shut up. We're eating your cartoons. Strong, y'all. Sit down. Sit down over there. You can't hear. I can't hear. Blah, blah, blah. Shut up. Turn it up. No, shut up. The only reason you can't hear is because you ain't listening. So cut it down. Yeah, Aubrey got Teresa. She said, I can't remember which one. They have to take turns watching LOL Dolls and whatever the little cartoon things on the way. We pick them up on Wednesday night. And they are. First thing when I get there, Papa, is it my turn? Hey. I'm like, oh, I can't remember. I said, oh no, go ask Grandma. Hey, Aubrey. Papa, is it my turn? I'm like, oh no, go ask Grandma. So she couldn't remember this thing. I said, oh, this is not good. I said, just take both phones. I said, we'll just take both phones. First thing at the door, both of them. Is it my turn? I said, yeah, both of you. I brought two phones. Papa, you brought two phones? I brought two phones. Well, Aubrey gets in and it's up loud. And she's back there just talking loud, the cartoon, whatever it is, comes on. And she says, Papa, turn it down! Turn it down! Hands it up. She can't stand the chaos. Right. And Aiden, he punches it on something. He said, Grandma, can I watch this? Ain't that a good question to ask Grandma? You know why? Grandma's taught her. You ask me, don't you watch nothing out here that you ain't supposed to be watching. You ain't watch that stuff. Man. We got to help Beth now. I mean, good Lord. They trying to train them out there. We bring them out here and feed them a bunch of garbage. Man. That's not very grandpa-like. Papa, whatever you call yourself. Man. I got to make sure out here that they're in that place of peace and all that. When they go home, then they have it better out there. I mean, those your grandparents with them grandkids, spoil them, let them be bright. You ain't helping the parents at all. And you really don't love the grandkids.
Right.
They bring them in candy. Sandy down there. They just like that. But you know what them, hey, he said, Papa, we can open it when church starts. They ain't no question whether they can open them before then. You know why? They've been taught you don't do it. He's told. He's been taught you don't open that before church starts. And Teresa Devlin, you get that candy on that pew, we'll cut the candy out here. She's cut it out for some of the results here before. No more candy in the sanctuary. Taking candy out and throwing the paper before like some little kid. Whole family, why the paper everywhere?
Yeah.
They used to be candy back there. We had to cut it out. Grown-ups acting like kids. See, look, the word brings structure in our homes and lives. It's not to limit us. It's to bring us into the good life, the peaceful life, the joyful life, the powerful life, the life of control that we have through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And don't think, I know, I already know the Word. I've been in church all my life. You've been deceived yourself. It's not the knowers of the word that gets results.
Right.
It's the doers.
Right.
The Bible says in James over, be doers of the word, embracers of the word, deceiving yourself if you don't. I've been in church. I've been in church longer than a lot of y'all. That don't make me spiritual. Went to a meeting one night, to a men's meeting. I mean, we're going to start men's meetings whenever the Lord, you know, tells them about, you know, all that. I'm hoping all us men will have our mind on the Lord before we get here. We'll just be God-minded, Word-minded. God, you're going to move tonight, Lord. You're going to move in the mighty men of valor, Lord. You're going to move in the kings and the priests unto God. You're going to raise up the men instead of coming in, I like my coffee black. I like mine yellow. I like mine green. Water down. Marshmallows in it. We're going to give you a few full of coffee before you get here. Right? Boy, we had a long day with them garage door, boy. Put them in, turn screws, half digits. You know what I'm going to be full of? God's door the time I get to the men's meeting. Thank God I had the service to break through so it can minister to me. But if I go in, anyhow, went in there, you know, and they're all cacking like, I thought, there's a bunch of women in here. But it was a car full of men. I rode with them. I mean, they talked about everything but Jesus. I mean, everything. I heard 35 full minutes of gossip. 35 full minutes of nothing. I shut it off in my mind. I'm quiet over here. I just got my mind on the Lord. I'm praying in tongues under my breath, you know, and I'm saying, God, this is going to be a glorious night here, Lord. Lord, I've lift the guy up to you that's ministering tonight, God. I don't know who he is, Lord, but I know how it is, Lord, to go in there and everybody in faith, in the right spirit, and it's easy to minister, God. Let everything be easy for him tonight, God. And I thank you, Lord. I did that the whole time. Went in that service, boy, I felt like I'd been in the presence of God. It was his first time. He'd been raised Baptist and come out of that and unbelieving stuff and praise God, hallelujah, got over there and got himself filled with the Holy Ghost, and they wanted him to preach the first night. He didn't know a whole lot. He just knew the Bible and been get saved every week. Praise God that he'd been set free.
Hallelujah.
One of the best sermons I ever heard in my life with no revelation in it. I left there and felt like I'd been in the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, something happened to one of the guys. I don't know what happened. They had a phone in church. I mean, no, that's a no-no.
Man.
To me. Y'all carry one if you want to. Everybody will call you right in the middle of the service. Get your mind right off of Jesus.
Right. Right.
Oh, they had a car wreck. Look good. They got angels. Come and sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You ain't going to make it over for the ambulance.
That's right.
You sure don't know how to do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. You're germophobic. You need the ambulance.
That'd be Travis.
He ain't gonna get nobody no mouth to mouth resuscitation. Ambulance better get there. Praise God. All I'm doing, I'm making it sound funny, but I'm being serious. Oh, they're upset. I'm over there talking to the minister, and I didn't know what's going on over there. I mean, this is after the service, and I was talking about how good that was to that little dude, you know, and man, it was good. I just commended him, you know, and encouraging him, you know, and look forward to hearing you again. Because we had ministers meetings once a month up there. Different ministers would minister, you know, when the guy felt like it was always good. Well, they come over and got me. Can't believe you. I said, what? So and so happened. They all mad at you. Well, let's go. Y'all shut up. Let's go. So we get in the car, and boy, they're just all the way back. Got down here to open the door. I told him, I said, let me tell y'all something. I said, I won't never ride with y'all again. I said, because one thing you can't do I said, be carnal all the time and then get spiritual all of a sudden when something bad happens. I won't be around y'all again. Boom. Adios.
Right.
Got in my car and I never rode with them again. So I had some of the best men's meetings after that. None of them ever went again. That was a good meeting. Well, all I mean is I'm telling you that for a reason. Don't stay carnal all the time and think you're going to get spiritual all of a sudden when you need Jesus. It's not going to happen. I'm just telling you. The Bible says the strong spirit of the man will sustain him. Strong spiritually. How do I do that? Keep your mind on the Lord. Pray in the morning. Read your chapter, hallelujah. Read the Bible. I read Facebook. I wish Facebook would blow up. If it fell off the face of the earth, I didn't have Facebook when I met Jesus. I didn't have Twitter and YouTube, and I didn't have TikTok and whatever all rock they got in there. Somebody sent me something the other day, you ought to try TikTok. I got enough TikTok going on in my life without TikTok. Just give me 50 gallons of diesel fuel and a cat motor cranked up. That's enough TikTok. I'll TikTok all day. I can praise Jesus all day long. That dozer ain't trying to teach me nothing. But I can spend time on that dozer, praying in tongues, thinking about the Lord, looking at God's creation, and I can grow spiritually on a dozer.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And look, and I realize, God, I'm only about ankle deep spiritually. God, this word can transform me from where I'm at, God, into that man that I know that I can be, Lord.
Yeah.
I can be that mature man. And I'm going to press. Paul said it. Forgetting those things behind, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we fasted in our house. We've always fasted. We felt like it was a part of our worship to the Lord. Not something starving yourself and dieting and all that. It'll help you lose weight if you don't eat. I mean, yeah, sure. But there's a spiritual aspect to it. If you draw close to the Lord while you're fasting. You're fasting telling the Lord, Lord, I'm drawing closer to you, Lord. Lord, I want to know you more, Lord. And Lord, this fasting, Lord, it breaks strongholds in my life, Lord. It lets the oppressed go free, Lord.
Amen.
Pulled up the other day and lady, maybe she won't listen to this. Over there at that land that we're pulled up over there, and I went down there and done something. I don't know what it was. I got back up there and boom, cranked the truck up. Boom, you know, you hear it. Started out, lady bust out the door. There's snot flying everywhere, and I'm, oh, Jesus. Oh, Brother Kenny, can you pray for me? And told me, I started pouring out her problems to me. I'm this and I'm that. What does the church start? What time does church start? I said, it starts 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, Sunday school, 11. Would you pray for me? I need some help. I said, I'll pray for you. I sure will, praise God. I said, give me a hand. I prayed for her, and I bound that devil. And I told her, I said, but you're going to have to do something. See, it's insane for you to sit at home, wanting change, wanting things changed, doing the same thing, same routine, same complaining, same griping, same desire, and don't do nothing different. That's insane. Well, she didn't really want no help. I didn't see her Sunday. Unless she went somewhere else. If she really wants help, you're going to have to go after the one that's after you. Paul said, I follow after the one that I've been apprehended of, Christ Jesus. So I'm telling you right now, you better do some right mind renewal. You better get your mind off of how you feel. You know, the most miserable people I've ever met in my life is self-centered people. All about them and how they feel and how everything affects them and how everybody's choices affects them and what people don't do and why if they do better, I could do that. Now, all of that is really a lie from the enemy. I can't control what people do, but I can't control my attitude. You know, my family, a big family, and mom, she was on up in her 80s and got bedridden, had a hole in her back, and wouldn't heal up and all that. And her sister died that they was like, I mean, it was real close. They come over and stayed up all weekend playing dominoes and all that stuff. you know. Anyhow, she wanted to go to the funeral. And I said, well, Mom, I'll come take you to the funeral. I said, I can follow. I get over there and I pick her up and I get her to the wheelchair and she can't stand the pain of the hole in her back that won't heal up. And so I have to take her back to the bed. She didn't get to go to her sister's funeral. And a lot of family didn't want to help out. She wasn't in financial good shape or nothing, you know. And I'd have meetings with them, you know. We need to pitch in $10, $15 a month, a week, or whatever we can. And Mom will have plenty of money. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You hear me? Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Right.
I want to help them out. I want to help our parents out. One another out. Mm-hmm. And she said, a lot of, well, I can't afford it. Well, quit drinking Mountain Dew. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, what a preacher. I like a false prophet. Quit drinking Mountain Dew. It's the only thing I enjoy. Well, your mom's going to be gone. You drink all the Mountain Dew you want then.
Yep.
Sacrifice them a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, those, to have the power and presence of God, you got to sacrifice.
Yes.
But anyways, I went on, you know, and I'm getting mad at them, you know, and getting upset with them. And I'm going, Lord, blah, 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 blah. About that time, Teresa, she's downloading More Life Ministry series on marriage. She wants a better marriage, so she gets marriage state. She wants better finances, so she gets finance. I mean, it's all time preaching in the house. But Travis, we'll go back to Travis second. The Holy Ghost just reminded me. And so we didn't make Travis do without food. Now, me and Teresa fasted food. We'd fast TV, fast his gaming, fast cartoons. At times while we was fasting, he was fasting too. Not by choice. We made him.
Right.
Some of y'all are so emotional, you can't make a kid do nothing.
Yep.
I don't want them to love me. They're going to really love you when they get a teenager. They're going to want to slap away from you. I don't want nothing to do with you.
Right.
Travis, he didn't like it. He left notes on stuff. I hate fasting. He'd go in there and tape it on the door, tape it on the heater, tape it on the table. He wouldn't give it to us personally. He wrote it, I hate fasting. Why? Because we're not letting him watch cartoons. We're not letting him play the game. We're not whatever it was. You know, but... You know, the Bible, you know, the Bible wants us to be examples
right.
to our kids, to our grandkids. I tell Aubrey now, I say, oh, I'm going to pray for you. Get my hair, Papa. I'll pray through my hair. And I'm like, well, I'll pray right through that hair. Give me that hair. Pray with her. I'll get her hand a little sooner or later. Right now, it's her ponytail. I don't know what it is with her. But that's okay. She's getting it. I'm not going to say, watch the years. No, she hears it. She feels it. I say it. I mean it. I'm releasing. I'm planting seeds. Hallelujah. But see, we've got to make sure. I'm not telling you to fast, but you ought to. I mean, look, man. I mean, if we want different results, we got to go deeper. We've got to anoint things. I anoint my house at times. I anoint my vehicle at times. I anoint my business. I plead the blood of Jesus over my business sometimes. I've adjusted to the business, to all the changes and all of that. I adjusted to it. I could have quit and threw my hands up and prayed God and just, Travis, he told me, he said, I made more money this year than I did last year. We didn't work near as much. Well, I believed it. I believed for it. I believed for God to increase me, right? I come and preached it. I could have got all over. I did. I nearly got mad at them. I nearly sent it back. I nearly changed companies. But I would just look on the inside. I wouldn't move. It's called not conform to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. I'm not on my business. You are. You've got your home. You've got your life. You've got the way you feel. Some of you feel like everything sucks tonight. You know how come I know? I felt it when I entered this church and I went out of this church. I went out in the dark. And I started praying in tongues. And I said, God, I bind every principality and power. He told me, he said, you can't bind flesh, son. I said, I know that, Lord, but I'm just covering my ground here. So y'all, some of y'all, life just sucks to you. You're in the flesh.
Yeah.
You're just in the flesh. Life don't suck to me. I'm just geared up. I got some doors to do tomorrow. Ooh, yeah. Hallelujah. Geared up. I thought Big Lemon Church gets over right and get to bed, get up and go to work tomorrow. I'm serious. I felt that way. I'm like, glory to God, this is what life makes you feel like. If tomorrow's a good day, no matter what's going on, you're looking forward to a good day. Hallelujah. Up work. I sit around the house. I go to sleep and get depressed. Oh, I feel like a worm, man. I've been asleep 4 hours. Y'all sleep too much. Teresa'd love to sleep some. That woman sleeps about 3 hours a night. She's up.
I wake everybody up.
I'm like, yeah. What time did you go to bed? All around 10. She's been that way for 30-something years. She has a problem with sleeping. I don't. I just sit down and go to sleep. Sleep 15 minutes, get up, eat, go back to sleep. Sleep 45 more, go eat again, sleep. Man, just give me somewhere to lay down, I go to sleep. I thought about putting Dave in the front and getting him to tell him when we got an hour away, I can get an hour now to the jobs. But you know what? I tell the Lord, thank you, Lord. You give your beloved sweet sleep. I don't have no sleep problem. Thank you, Lord. I don't have one. I've never had one, but I'm going to keep the word on it so I never have one. I'm never going to experience, can't go to sleep, and I want to. I used to do that when I worried. Stay awake all night worrying. Worrying. I didn't know you couldn't. Heaven. I renewed my mind, praise God. Then I renewed my mind to it. Worry not about tomorrow, what you wear, what you eat. I went in there and meditated on the scripture. Got in the middle of a bunch of Christians one time. And I said, I don't worry about that, Mr. Weston. You got to worry about something. I said, I don't, because y'all do it at all. I said, it's a sin to worry. Well, I can't help it. No, you can. Renew your mind to God's word. Transform your life by renewing your mind to the word and tell the Lord, I'm not worrying about tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about what I wear, what I eat, my rent, my lights, my water, my future, my kids' future. I did it with Travis. Whenever Teresa wanted him to go to college, we're making sure he's going to college. She kept him in advanced classes, worked with him. I mean, those parents are supposed to try to advance your kids at home. Instead of thinking the teachers are supposed to just teach them. If we teach them, our kids will be a blessing in that classroom. They'll be a blessing to them teachers, you know. But, I mean, Teresa kept Travis, I mean, you know, even when she was homeschooling. She called me one time, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Went in there, he's frustrated, she's frustrated, both of them aggravated. You know, when they both got frustrated and aggravated, I just said one word and just cleared it all up, praise God. He didn't understand. Because he didn't understand, she's needing to do it. And the Lord gave me the word. See, y'all men, the Lord will give you the word for peace in your house. Blessed is the peacemaker. Even in the natural things. Teresa had Travis. He was 2 years. He was in the 10th grade doing 12th grade work. Praise God, he'd come home with anything less than an A. Teresa said, there anybody in your class that makes A? Anybody. Yep, you can do it too then. They're no smarter than you are. And she pushed him to make straight A's. You know why some don't? Because you got to lay down your dishwashing. You got to lay down your TV watching. It disrupts your life at 3:15 when they get in off the bus or whatever the case may be. So it's not. It's all about what it's costing you. But you ain't thinking about what it's going to cost them if you don't. Right. Or if I don't. Yeah. I tell Aubrey often, you know, if anybody in your class does real good, you can do just like them, baby. Well, Teresa taught me that. Well, you know what? He's in the 10th grade doing 12th grade work. We sent out for him to go to college, and he comes to me and he said, Dad, I don't have it in my heart to go to college, Dad. I want to go into garage door business. Well, I laid hands on him at 5 years old and asked the Lord. I said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done, God. But raise him up and let him want in it like I do, Lord. Let it be a blessing to him. I did that at 5 when I released that. But God, I'm not going to tell him what to do, Lord. You put it in his heart. Well, you know what? Praise God. The Lord did raise him up and all of that. But it wasn't, I mean, both of us really wanted to go to college, but that wasn't what was in his heart. So we made him go get his GED. Some parents just let their kids drop out, don't hold them accountable for nothing. And wonder why they, you know, I can't get a good paying job. Of course you don't, you ain't got a GED. Go to school. It was on TV the other day, 90-something-year-old man went back to school and got some diplomas. I'm like, you go, dude. 90-something years old, he's on the news. I'm like, this dude's still going somewhere, 92. Yeah. We got some kind of diploma, college or something. Had to go into service and was going to do it then. Couldn't. He had to go fight for our country, that's what it was. He got out and all that stuff, went to school, got it. Got what he wanted back then. He didn't give up on it. Amen. So I want to encourage you, you know, fight for your right to be free at home. You know, if you're having problems, renew your mind. You know, if you're having problems with fear, renew your mind. If you're having problems with anger, forgiving, whatever, go in there and say, God, your word says forgive, so you can forgive me, God. I thank you, Lord, that I have a forgiving heart. If you've got problems, I mean, I know there's things in my life that I felt like was sin and bondage, and I took Romans 8 and confessed it over me for years. Lord, I thank you that sin has no dominion. I would name whatever had dominion over me that I wanted loose from. I would put it in there. And I would say it and say it and say it. And you know what? I have actually come out of a lot of stuff using that word. Why? Because it transforms. Let's bury it. Father, we praise you. And I just